Hello, it's Thursday, May 18th, and you're listening to Wing Radio. I'm Lisa Giuliani.
And I'm Victor Thorne. Welcome to Wing Radio, which can be heard at www.wingtv.net. We're high atop a beautiful mountain in Happy Valley, Pennsylvania. And what we're going to cover today in a few minutes is the top 10 Patriot debates that we think everybody would love to see. Now, we're doing this in light of the recent debate between Michael Collins Piper and Eric John Phelps that was on RBN Live, and we started thinking about it, and we're like, well, what would everybody want to hear? What top 10 debates? So in a couple minutes, we're going to get to that. We talked about it a little bit on Viz's show last night. Every Wednesday, we're on Visigoths from the Grassy Knoll. You can find that at visigoth.com. And we're going to cover it more extensively today. You can also find it on the Wing TV homepage.
All right. Well, we may be wrong about these debates, but at least we're telling you these are the debates we'd like to see.
Exactly, yeah. Now, before we get to that, though, we got an email from Vinny Sammartino yesterday, and this is in light of the recent Pentagon video that was released, the new video, or at least that's what they call it. And Vinny, as usual, one of the top 9/11 researchers out there, had some very interesting comments about what the Pentagon released. So, Lisa, let everyone know what Vinny's thinking, and again, he's right on the mark.
Vinny says, I love when the Pentagon deception is talked about. It's such a right-in-your-face lie. It's almost comical. It's almost like they, the neocons, did this on a bet between themselves just to prove how stupid the masses are. He said, in relation to the videos, there was no way anything they show us can be real. You can't physically fly a passenger jet 6 feet off the ground horizontally at any speed, any high speed, which is what the video suggests happened. The lack of a vertical stabilizer mark on the wall doesn't even matter, Vinny says, because the very concept of flight gets in the way of the neocon lie.
So again, he's bringing physics and science into the equation, just like we did with the World Trade Center Tower controlled demolition, and you can't argue with physics. You can't break the laws of nature, and even if in this Pentagon video that little supposed nose cone, which is really nothing more than a blur on one frame of footage, even if that was the nose cone, it would still be physically impossible for this scenario to take place because the engines of the plane would be digging through the ground. That's how close to the ground it is. It just doesn't make sense.
Well, it is best to be a little conservative now because supposedly some new video footage is on the horizon.
Well, that's what people are speculating.
So let's just see what they pull out and throw at us next.
Yeah, and supposedly there are 84 other potential videos still out there. It's curious why the Pentagon isn't releasing them,
no,
or maybe it's not so curious because we know why they're not releasing
them.
They
could just resolve the whole issue. Show us the allegedly reconstructed Flight 77 plane, which the FBI is supposedly storing in a hangar. Just show us the plane.
Yeah.
Forget the video. Show us the plane.
Yeah. And, you know, another thing that we noticed was in reaction to the Pentagon video, on Wing TV yesterday we had Mr. Russell Pickering. He runs a site called PentagonResearch.com, one of the foremost researchers on the Pentagon in the country. So that's who we had on Wing TV. On Alex Jones's show, he had a guy on, the director of investigations and research from Judicial Watch. Now, Judicial Watch is the outfit that issued the Freedom of Information Act to get these videos released, and then their representative appeared on Bill O'Reilly and said, Tom Fitton, and said, well, I'm glad now that this is going to put all of these conspiracy researchers to bed. They won't have anything else. And they were siding with the government's official version.
He sounded so much like a shill for the government. I can't even describe how badly this looks.
Well, I mean, they worked in unison. Judicial Watch worked in unison with the Pentagon and the government.
Didn't he say he saw the whole plane? That it showed the whole plane?
Yeah, I guess. And this guy that Alex had on, named Chris Farrell, was a former military intelligence officer. Now, we've never had a former military intelligence officer on our show, and it just shows that Alex is bringing on the dupes, Judicial Watch, while we're bringing on the authentic researchers, Think about that for a little bit. Also, illegal immigration is still very hot in the news, and I guess that there's legislation that's being pushed through the Congress, and what they're saying is that the illegal aliens that are in the country right now will be able to get amnesty if they, A, pay a fine, and B, pay their back taxes. So I did a little bit of calculating, and let's just go on the assumption that there's 12 million illegal aliens in this country, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And that includes men, women, children, elderly. And if they had to pay $2,000 apiece, that's what the fine is supposed to be that Bush is talking about, $2,000.
That's a meaningful penalty?
Yeah. Well, that would come to $24 billion. Now, let's say that they have to pay back taxes. And let's just say, again, $2,000 a pop. Now, some of these people have been in the country for 10, 12, 15 years, but let's just say they only have to pay $2,000 in back taxes. That'd come to another $24 billion. So the whole amount of money that the government is going to collect, at best, is $48 billion. Now, people think, wow, that's really a large sum of money. Well, in actuality, we're spending over $400 billion this year on the defense budget alone. So this is nothing. It's one-tenth of the entire defense budget for 1 year, and that's the entirety of the fines and back taxes that you're going to collect. It's worthless, isn't it?
Yeah. I just saw something about the Senate has moved on the immigration reform legislation, and I guess what they want to do is ban illegals who have felonies, who've been here 3 years or whatever, mm-hmm. and they have some exceptions, though, people who have hardships. You know, in other words, they wouldn't be banned. They would have leniency or whatever. And then people who didn't know there were deportation orders out for them.
I always thought...
Now, they didn't know that it's illegal to cross the border in the first place. Why wouldn't they just assume that there are orders out to deport them? I mean, this is so ridiculous.
Well, I mean, what if I went 15 miles over the speed limit and said, I didn't know what the speed limit was in that area, the cop would say, ignorance of the law is
right.
No excuse.
That's right.
So that applies
except
to everybody else,
right.
To them. And also, you mentioned hardships.
What kind of hardships apply here?
Well, what if the guy burned down his mother's house, and afterwards said, well, you know, Mom treated me badly and I was an abused child, so I burned her house down, but since I have this hardship, I think I better be able to stay in the country. And here's one last thing that nobody's talking about is that Bush is saying that, yeah, they have to pay a fine, they have to pay their back taxes, but is there any deadline on this? So, I mean, is anybody saying it's 2006 right now? If these people don't become part of the program by 2008, let's say, then those that don't become part of the program get rounded up and get deported back to
Mexico? How are they supposed to find all these people? Are they supposed to voluntarily just come forward to sign up for this program?
Right.
If they can't find them now, how are they going to find them after this gets implemented?
Yeah, and speaking of the $48 billion that we mentioned before that would be supposedly collected, it's going to cost more to set up the bureaucracy to follow all these people, then they're going to collect from the fines. The whole program is in a shambles already. And if the Congress passes it, it's just another false flag. It's another disaster that's not going to cure the problem.
And who's getting the money? The IRS.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. One last thing before we get to our top 10 debates. Rick Ryder has a new article. Actually, it's called The 9/11 Quiz. And this is posted on Morgan Reynolds' site, nomoregames.net. And I'll just let you take a look at it online there. Go to nomoregames.net. It's the 9/11 Quiz.
And it's something that's very good to give to newbies.
Yeah.
To the people who are not familiar with the 9/11 information.
Yeah, kind of interesting. Now, the Wing TV Top 10 Patriot Debates. And as we said, on Tuesday afternoon, Michael Collins Piper debated Eric John Phelps about who really runs the New World Order. Is it the Zionists or is it the Jesuits? You can go into our archives, read the article, our analysis of this debate. We think Michael Collins Piper clearly won, and we talked about that last night on Viz's show. And I started thinking, well, you know, there has to be other good debates out there that people would love to see, that we would love to see. So we came up with our top 10 list. They can be found at the wingtv.net website. And Lisa, why don't you start off with number 10? We're going to go in descending order.
Okay, number 10, Professor Stephen E. Jones of Scholars for 9/11 Truth and Brigham Young University versus Tucker Carlson from MSNBC. Now, remember, Carlson didn't give Stephen Jones a fair shot in round one. He didn't want to run the video footage of World Trade Center 7 collapsing, which only was, 6.6 seconds or less of airtime. But in round two, we would like to see neutral ground with full audiovisual effects to assist Professor Jones. And we expect that a lot of people would be anticipating a debate like that as well.
Right. And also, Tucker Carlson kept cutting off Professor Jones whenever he made
a
good comment. And it would be good to see, you know, maybe on a college campus somewhere. There's plenty of universities that host these kind of debates. And just think, both of them up on stage, they can have a video screen behind them, full audiovisual aids, and let each one go at this subject as if it was an authentic debate, not a manipulated event like Tucker Carlson did.
And in this debate, Tucker would have to actually shut up and let Stephen Jones talk so that he could understand what was being said.
And Tucker would still, though, be allowed to wear his bow tie. That would have to be one of the stipulations, so we'll make sure of that. Debate number 9. An individual named Tim White versus Captain May. Now, Captain May's the head of what's called the ghost troops. And, I wish he would become like a ghost and vanish. But Captain May's putting out this nonsense periodically. It seems like every month. And it's all based on some kind of hullabaloo numerology that he's into. And the last time he did it, well, one of the first big ones he did was this imminent nuclear attack that was supposed to take place in Texas City, Texas.
And, of course, it didn't happen, but then he took credit for that, saying that he somehow thwarted it, he and the ghost troops.
Yeah, the ghost troops. And Greg Zemanski ran a couple of articles on this imminent nuclear attack. And then one of the newspapers in Texas, I think it was Galveston or Brownsville, one or the other, ran an article that really made the entire Patriot movement look ludicrous because they said, there's no imminent nuclear attack. These people didn't stop it. They tried to interview Greg Zemanski. Well, Zemanski, after he found out the whole thing was a hoax, wasn't anywhere to be found.
Kind of like back under his rock.
Yeah, kind of like when we try to find him. And the latest that Captain May did was that there was going to be a nuclear attack in the first few days of May. Well, the first few days of May have passed. This was going to take place in Chicago, and it didn't happen. So it seems like
he'll say they thwarted that one too.
Yeah, and what happens is you have some of these mass spammers out there that are definitely nothing more than paid government informants that just spread this stuff all around the internet, and people read it and they get all worked up about it and fired up. And it's like, oh my! And people, you remember that imminent one in Texas? People were actually, you know, emailing and calling us and saying, you know, should we move? Should we try to get our relatives out of Texas? And they're going insane about it. We're like,
the gullibility factor.
Yeah, there's not going to be any nuclear attack in Texas.
And I suggest you maybe look elsewhere for your information other than someone who calls himself Captain May, commander of a ghost troop.
Yeah, and then even a place called the Independent Media Center had to retract an article that they wrote about this latest event, and they said, you know what, take this stuff with a healthy amount of skepticism because there's good information on the internet and there's disinformation, and Tim White, I think, would drag him up one side and down the other. So that would be debate number 9.
Number 8, Dave McGowan versus Mike Rupert. Now, we all saw that Rupert got pretty much trounced on Coast to Coast when he went up against Jerome Corsi in January of 2006 in a peak oil debate. But Corsi isn't even half as familiar with Rupert as Dave McGowan is. Mm-hmm. And we'd love to see these two go head-to-head, and we would put our money on McGowan.
Yeah, sure. And you would see, finally, the agenda of big oil and the dupes, the pawns that they use, that they co-opt to push it. And McGowan knows Rupert not only on the peak oil level, but also all the shenanigans he pulled with 9/11 that are just egregious, that did send so many people spiraling in the wrong direction. So that one we would love to see. I don't think Mr. Rupert would keep his cool very well in that one. Debate number 7 would be between Daryl... Well, first of all, we're going to bill this one as the debate of the invisible men, and we'll tell you why in a second. It would be between Daryl Bradford Smith from The French Connection and Jeff Rentz. Now, Daryl Smith, has called Jeff Rentz's website in the past the nest of the conspiracy and also a lie factory. And recall this, the battle between the invisible men, because Daryl Smith is horrified of showing his real face. He's never, ever shown it to anybody, while Jeff Rentz constantly wears a disguise to conceal his identity. He wears a wig and a fake mustache and fake glasses.
Yeah,
and
the
so
ground
forth.
Rule for that debate would both men would have to show their real faces.
Oh, would that be great?
Horror of horrors.
Yeah, you know what, Lisa? Mm-hmm. I would actually pay
to see that.
To see that one, just to see what these two men look like, if it's even their real identities.
Number 6, Russell Pickering of PentagonResearch.com, the guy we just had on our show yesterday, versus Mike Rivero of What Really Happened.
Yep.
Now, Mike Rivero is a staunch advocate that that Flight 77 actually hit the Pentagon.
Mm-hmm.
And Russell Pickering, like many of the rest of us, believes there are serious questions surrounding that, and we all have some major doubts. So that should be a very interesting one, especially in light of this recent release of the Pentagon video, which showed nothing of substance once again.
Right. And we had Mike Rivero on Wing TV once and asked him point blank.
Right.
I asked him, yes or no, did Flight 77 hit the Pentagon? And he said unequivocally, yes,
okay.
It did. And
where
I'll,
is it?
Yeah, and I'll go on record right now myself as saying Flight 77 did not hit the Pentagon. And the only way the government's going to come up with anything is if they bring in Steven Spielberg or George Lucas and come up with some big Hollywood production in one of their film studios out there in La La Land. So that would be good. That would be, I think, as an intellectual debate as there would be, and a lot of facts and so forth. I think that'd be a real good one.
I agree.
Debate number 5 would be between Bob Feldman and Amy Goodman. Now, people might not recognize the name Bob Feldman, but they know his website. It's called leftgatekeepers.com, and Amy Goodman, of course, hosts the show Democracy Now, or, as a lot of people call it,
Disinformation Now.
Right. And I think the subjects in this debate would be funding. Where does Amy Goodman and Democracy Now! And Pacifica Radio, where do they get their funding? Could it come from the CIA? Could it come from all these New World Order think tanks, from corporate funding? And also,
the answer to all of the above is ching, ching, ching.
Exactly.
Yes.
I think they could also cover subjects like why Amy Goodman has sat on and buried and suppressed information from all the lefty lefts, from the Libby Libs out there for 4.5 years.
About 9/11.
Right, about 9/11 and a host of other subjects. So it seems like Amy Goodman is very selective in the gatekeeping information that she releases to the liberals.
Well, Amy's getting paid to do a job, and she does it well.
She does it for sure.
Number 4, Eric Hufschmidt versus Kyle Hentz. Kyle Hentz is a notorious gatekeeper. I think we've called him king of the 9/11
uh-huh.
gatekeepers.
Yep.
Just to see who's for real, who isn't, why so much effort's been made to conceal certain information regarding 9/11, which was the country's worst terrorist attack, quote-unquote, ever in our history. Hence, once told us after an interview on Wing TV that people aren't ready for the truth.
Wait a second. Do you think he was referring to the people listening to this show and everybody else in America?
I think he was referring to everybody. People
everybody.
Aren't ready for the truth. Of course, Kyle has decided he's the determinant of that. And
he's the decider.
Yeah, he's also the decider. We've got quite a few deciders.
We do, really, and we're going to get to that in a few minutes. But Eric Huffman has been very vocal
right.
in the last 6 months to a year about what this group called the 9/11 Mafia, and he's written quite extensively about not only what they've done, but the techniques they use to conceal the truth from the public. And I know Eric's a very excitable guy. We've interviewed him a number of times. We had a pretty good debate with him a few weeks ago, didn't we?
Well, I think it was a little longer than that. But
yeah.
Even though we don't agree with everything Eric's been saying in the last few months, on this one issue with Kyle Hentz, we absolutely do agree with him. So we would look forward to a debate like this.
Right. Debate number three. John Kaminsky versus Judy Andreas. Now, of all the debates listed, this would most certainly be the most one-sided. It almost would be so one-sided that it's not even fair. I mean, that's what it would be like. Muhammad Ali in his prime stepping into the ring against an eighth-grade lightweight.
Against the 90-pound weakling?
Yeah, and when we say, well, except it's a mental lightweight. And when we say lightweight, we mean a real mental lightweight, and it would be a knockdown drag out because I know John has a lot of pent-up hostilities towards Miss Andreas, and our prediction is that before round one was even over, somebody would have to throw the towel in because this could turn into something real ugly.
Debate number two, John Statmiller versus Jack Blood. Now remember, Jack Blood jumped ship from RBN to go to GCN. He tried to use us and Wing TV in the process. We refused to help him backstab John Statmiller, so we got labeled backstabbers as a result by Jack Blood. You keeping up with me here? Okay, then Statmiller proceeded to do this very long, totally wild, intense show.
About an hour and 15 minutes.
In which he explained what happened, and he called Jack Blood, quote, a sociopathic piece of crap. Now, this debate itself could turn into a bloodbath, but we still would like to be sitting in the front row to watch what happens.
Yeah, and if we were in the front row, I think we'd be splattered with some of that blood, but that wouldn't bother us at all because we would love to see these two toe-to-toe. Finally, the debate of all debates. Debate number one, Wing TV versus Alex Jones. This is the main event, folks. No holds barred. And we think that the basis for it would be issues like censorship and money grubbing and how Alex Jones betrayed the Gray family and how he's running this big, extensive Zionist protection racket and all of these other things that we've written about. We'll put them all on the table, every single one of them. And we'll say right here, we do it anytime, any place, anywhere, on any forum, even in hostile territory, hostile to us. We do it on Jeff Rentz's show. We do it any place.
But the only condition is that Alex Jones would not be allowed to delete or erase any part of it if it was on his turf.
You know, I didn't even think of that, but that's a good point that after the debate's over and when it's and before it's put up onto the internet, nobody, Jeff Rentz, Alex Jones, or anybody else, is allowed to go in there and censor out or delete parts of the debate that they don't like. So what it boils down to is Alex Jones has been cutting and running now for 2 years. He doesn't want anything to do with it. And I even heard him once saying that there's all these people that want to debate him, and it doesn't matter who it is, he would do it. Well, we even wrote an article about it once. We're here telling everybody, anytime, any place, how about Greg Zemanski's show?
Yeah, well, we can't get Greg Zemanski to respond either because he's too busy hiding under his rock.
Yeah, but Greg likes these debates, and you know, he could be the moderator of it. And so what's Jones going
to do? We have to come up with some better questions. We probably have to write the questions
down. Because everybody would be falling asleep from his questions. And it's like we said in an article yesterday, if given a choice between A, watching grass grow B, watching paint dry, or C, listening to Greg Zemanski's show?
You know what? I think we
pick A or B.
We could take them both on at the same time, because
yeah.
I really don't see Zemanski as a neutral
party. Oh, that's all
right.
It doesn't matter. He can be as unneutral as he wants. He can do everything in his power to side with Alex. We'll still debate him anytime, anywhere, any condition. It doesn't matter to us. So what's Alex going to do? Is he going to step to the plate, or is he going to keep hiding behind his microphone, hanging up on people when they call into his show, and on and on and on? Come on, Alex. What are you afraid of?
There is one more debate that we wish we could see that none of us will get to see, and that would be a posthumous debate between William Cooper versus Art Bell. Now, everybody who's familiar with these two guys knows that they were arch nemesis, and we think the topics should include Freemasonry, secret societies, and how the field of UFOs has been manipulated by the government. And if there was one thing that Bill Cooper could resurrect himself for, this debate would be it,
I think.
We would
love to see it. And we would love to see...
We lost a good guy with Bill Cooper.
Yeah, we would love to see him come back and start kicking a little bit of ass, too, because God knows this movement needs a good kick in the ass by somebody like Bill Cooper. Finally now...
Yeah, it might actually turn into a movement then.
Yeah. Finally, we mentioned before that Kyle Hentz likes to see himself as a decider of what kind of information is released to the public, that people are made aware of. And everybody knows George Bush called himself the decider. He decides who remains in the cabinet. He decides who goes to the press conferences. He's the decider of everything. Well, today on the Wing TV homepage, we have an article by a guy named Keith Klein, and it's called Alex Jones Decider. And what he did was, he said that yesterday or the day before on Alex's show, he was telling everybody that he's going to be the decider of who comes to the $74 a ticket worship fest.
To speak
out
and
there.
And people who've been critical of him, who've quote unquote attacked him in the past, are not going to be invited to speak there.
Yeah. So Alex,
his critics aren't welcome.
Yeah. So Alex is now the decider.
And I'm shocked.
And Keith Klein asks in this article, he says, how is that any different than George Bush? Bush decides who's in the cabinet. Bush decides. And when we were up in New York City for the anti-war rally a few weeks ago, Lisa, all these people had big pictures of George Bush, and it says, I'm the decider, you know? And it's like Alex Jones is emulating George Bush, because he's now saying that he's going to be the determinant of everything in the 9/11 movement. It's like, this information doesn't get out unless it has Alex, the decider's, stamp of approval all over it.
What's the matter, Alex? You can't do your shtick in front of people who aren't bowing at your altar?
Yeah. So it's going to... You know, it's funny. That's a good point, because with the government, with the New World Order, they carefully construct the audience
uh-huh.
that they speak to
right.
so that there's nothing that can rub against the grain, no type of opposition... So nobody can ask hard questions. Nobody can, you know, do anything that's off the script.
At Ground Zero, we were able to do what we had to do, despite the fact that there were people there who weren't too happy that we were there, and some people got in our face.
Yeah.
What's the matter, Alex? Do you have a problem with doing a presentation in front of people who aren't salivating at your very presence?
I mean, I wonder if the entire event's going to be scripted out. And if anything is spoken there that's not on the script, I wonder if somehow it's going to be censored out or deleted before the public gets to see it. And it reminds me exactly and precisely of what happens in the mainstream media, in the government, as they carefully craft it. So nothing, there's no curveballs
right.
allowed in there.
And people who aren't minions or butt kissers or people who aren't going with the flow get escorted out either
yeah.
ceremoniously or unceremoniously or they get put in a little protest cage away from where the events are taking place. It's like Laura Bush saying the other day, people come up to her all over the country expressing how appreciative they are. Who gets to come up to her?
Yeah. Well, you know how at the Republican and National Conventions they had little protest cages that people could go in. I wonder
Alex will set up a little dissident cage.
Yeah. I mean, I wonder if we went out there and I'd never give him $74 for the life of me to go to his event.
The Gatekeeper Fest. Hey, yeah. Alex, I hope you're going to address Israel's role in 9/11.
Yeah. But, I mean, I wonder if people like us went out there, if he'd have a little protest cage for people he didn't want, so he could throw them in there, you know, two blocks away from the hotel where it's going to be at, so they can yell at him through their bullhorn or something. It's just something that we all need to think about, because everybody mocked George Bush when he was the decider.
Right.
Everybody mocked Kyle Hence when he was the decider, but now Alex Jones has all of a sudden become the decider.
And you know what? And he decided to have Judicial Watch on his show. And you better think about that.
Yeah.
Give that a second look. Because if you heard Bill O'Reilly's show the other night, then you heard how this guy Fitton from Judicial Watch was talking about us and you, all of us, the people who question the official version of 9/11. And I guess that would include Alex Jones.
Yeah.
And he was slamming us all.
He was. And this is the group that Alex has on his show, while we have an authentic Pentagon researcher, Russell Pickering. So.
Questioning the government is not translated as being a conspiracy theorist. You should be allowed to question the government and not be labeled a kook. And that's basically how this guy, Fitton, was acting.
Exactly.
On O'Reilly's show.
Yeah, we also
Why is Alex Jones interviewing him?
We also hope the professors for 9/11, or the scholars for 9/11 Truth, speak publicly against Judicial Watch, because they teamed up with them in getting these videos released, and it's obvious right now that Judicial Watch is a skunk that cannot be trusted.
Yeah, they're working in league with the government.
Exactly. So, until tomorrow, we want to thank everybody for tuning in. Tomorrow's going to be Friday. We're looking forward to the weekend. Until then, keep your eyes open, because there's a lot going on.
See you all then.